Welcome to another Muskie Gear Monday on the Team Rhino Outdoors Muskie Fishing Podcast. This week, I'm going to talk to Steve Herbeck. Many of you know him as Herbie. We'll call him a legend in muskie fishing because I feel that's exactly what he is. He's wealth of knowledge, has no problems taking a topic and just running with it. And this week, the topic would be some of the new baits that Herbie's been working on. He's been working on the Kraken from Livingston Lures and also the Big Mac, which is a new topwater bait from Livingston as well. And so we're going to kind of profile that. But then, Herbie talks about, some tips on how to work, tube baits, because he does a lot with Red October tubes as well. I mean, he's just because he's going to use a Kraken doesn't mean Red October's out the window. There's still a time and a place for all these different baits. And he's also got some unique approaches to fishing topwaters, stuff that not many people think about doing. So, check out this half hour podcast. It's, these podcasts are a lot shorter than Backlash podcast that I do with Brad Hoppe with Muskie Mayhem Tackle. And so far, I think this is probably like number four in a row. I'm going to try to do these very regularly throughout the course of the fishing season. And all we do is talk gear, and it'll be interesting to talk gear during the season to just see kind of what's working for people and different areas and things like that. So I appreciate you coming along for the ride. If you haven't already, subscribe on whatever platform it is that you're listening to. That way, if for some reason we get a little irregular, you can get notified when a new episode comes out. I don't make any extra incentives or dollars off of any subscribers. In fact, I make $0 off this podcast in general, unless somebody comes out and supports Team Rhino Outdoors. With that being said, that's where you can find all the gear that's talked about in these podcasts. Go visit teamrhinooutdoors.com. That's the space that you'll find everything that we talk about in this podcast, from rods to reels to nets to baits. You got it covered there. Lots of cool gear for this year. We'll tease about some of it here in this podcast, and we'll talk about some of it. Hopefully, by the time you hear this, the new Kraken from Livingston will be available on the website, if not very shortly after. And then make sure you get on our website, use the email us when available button, and that way you can sign up to get notified when the new Big Mac from Livingston drops too. Hopefully, that's roughly a June 1st delivery. So that's what we have going on this week. I want to thank everybody again for their support of Team Rhino Outdoors. We are a very family-run business. We have no employees that do not have the same last name, and my kids very much appreciate it. I know some of the kids, they like to spend, we allow them, some allowance from their hours they work in the shop, and some of them, but they do need to save some of it. We're trying to teach some values of that. And so my son Zach, he appreciates you keeping him busy in the shop. He likes to buy some little games and things like that. And so my older daughter, she's looking to go to college, and so that's what she's using her funds for. And the other two, they just keep piling it up. They're not much for spending, but hopefully they'll be using it for college or something important at some point, maybe buying a car when they get around to it. But anyways, we want to thank you for support of our family-run business. With that being said, we're going to jump into the conversation I had this week with Steve Herbeck. All right, my guest this week is Herbie, Steve Herbeck. And Herbie, I appreciate you taking time to talk to me on this podcast. We've had you on the Backlash podcast, I don't even know how many times. You're probably one of the more frequent guests that we've had. And we very much thank you for your contributions there, as well as coming out to see us at the shows. We've been, we have you at most of the shows this year, and it was always great to have you around. So very much appreciate that. But Herbie, let's break the ice a little bit. We're talking musky gear on this podcast. Do you remember back to your very first musky that you caught?
Like yesterday. Yeah, it was me. I was up with my old man, did my dad, Big Dan, and a couple of his buddies. We always took some musky chips in the fall. I think I was only about 12 at that time. We're at Squirrel Lake, had an old 5500 Red Garcia and a pull cue rod and clipped on a black Suic and never took it off the whole weekend. And all of a sudden, a 44 incher smoked that sucker, came flying out of the water. It was the only musky caught of the group. And it was just a comedy. Back in those days, it wasn't, stress so much catch and release. We're talking over 50 years ago now, I don't want to lead on just a hole on them, but my dad had my dad was a character. He had one of these spring-loaded kind of gaffs that you opened up and you stabbed the fish and it clamped shut in their gills. And he was stabbing at this fishing, and the thing wouldn't work. And, you know, finally we gilled it, got it in the boat without getting hooked and everything. But it was quite the deal. I will never, ever forget it. And I still, when things are tough, I still clamp on, you know, clip on a 12 inch black wooden sulik and go to town with it, because it has saved the day for me, even to this day, 50 years ago.
So then let me ask you, when you caught that first muskie, did you ever think that it would lead you to where you are today?
No. I mean, it lit a fire, you know, in me for sure. And, you know, I was always trying to get, you know, once I actually got to working age, I was always trying to get out of work to go fishing. I knew I had to do something or I'd be broke. So that pretty much, you know, what kind of, you know, made that happen. But from that moment on, I love to fish everything. But muskies make me shake. One of the few fish that make me shake. A big jumping tarpon, you know, 30 feet off the end of the rod will do that to me too. And everything's fun to catch. But muskies really make me shake. And that first fish was what indoctrinated me into that feeling. And I knew who was screwed.
It's kind of that way with a lot of us, though. I mean, you know, I have people that ask me the same thing. They're like, why do you fish for muskies? And I'm like, because I never met a bass or caught a bass that made me, you know, that did anything to my heart rate. You know, I've never done it.
Yeah.
All right, Herbie, we're talking gear, and you're involved, you know, with a ton of muskie companies. I mean, a lot of these baits that come out, you have your hand in them or have played with them before they even hit the market. But two of them that are coming out, or that, you know, one of them's out now, it's the Kraken for Livingston Lures, and they also have a new topwater bait out. We're gonna talk about that as well, and we might go down the road of the flipper too, because that's, you know, those three baits are, you know, newer to the Livingston lineup. But let's talk a little bit about the Kraken. I know you had your hand in playing around with this. I had a chance to touch it last year. You know, what makes this one new and different?
Well, you know, in the last, everybody thinks tubes are really new, but, you know, we've been using Red October tubes and Water Wolf tubes for 12, 15 years. You know, it's just, they really hit mainstream in the last three or four with a lot of anglers, and they catch fish. But, you know, one of the things is that, you know, they're not real durable. And so, you know, we came up with a hard-headed tube. The most important thing that people, I don't think people realize, what makes a bait that looks so phallic, like a tube, so effective, is that it's not just its action. There's something about the tube being hollow that can't be duplicated very easily with a hard-headed bait, because the tube being hollow and very flexible, the water flows in and out of it as you're working the bait, and it makes really weird vibrations and sounds, swooshing, sucking, different vibrations as that sides of that bait collapse and kind of push the water back out through them tentacles, almost like a squid kind of propulsion type of thing, as you will, only we're making the propulsion. So it's very hard to duplicate that in a hard-headed bait. Now, what we did to try and get that same type of deal with the Kraken is that it is hollow and it's able to take in water and expel water as you're working it. It doesn't have quite the flex as the tube, but that, you know, it doesn't have near the flex of the tube because it's hard, but it does, the water does move in and out of it. Another really neat advantage of the Kraken, besides that, is obviously it has, even though it's hollow, the EBS chamber, the electronic baitfish chamber, is sealed, so that the water in going in and out of the head doesn't, you know, affect the electronics of that particular piece of machinery inside the bait. The hard-headed factor makes it a very good hooker, makes it very durable, and the fact that it has screw-in weights make it very easy to change the buoyancy or how the bait actually works, from a near type of a vertical type or horizontal type of hanging type of presentation to a fast dropping nose first type of presentation, or several in between, depending upon how heavy of a weight or not that you are using in the bait. So it gives it some versatility. Also, the weight is a little farther back than most of your tubes are weighted. Most of your tubes are weighted. You know, there's the shallow rigging, which spreads it out over, you know, half of the body, that gives a more of a horizontal and slowly sinking type of action. But most of your heads are, you know, between shallow, medium, and heavy, deep, are way up near the nose, right at the tip of the nose. And the drop is what makes the fish bite, and why so many fish are caught real deep, because as the fish bait is dropping, the fish intercept it head first. And that's why you get a lot of, if you're working off bait really fast, like a jerk bait, and it's going more horizontal and jerking, you'll get the slashing strikes and you'll hook him in the corner of the mouth or the side of the gill plate, stuff like that. But if you're working a tube pretty much what is the most effective way, it's the drop that catches fish. Now, and being nose first, it drops nose first. Now, on the Kraken, the weight is a little bit farther back, right behind the front hook. So the drop is a little different. It's more of a gliding drop. And I find that very, very effective, not only just working it, you know, pretty much how we work tubes or in that fashion, but then yet it has a little bit different type of a gliding type of a fall rather than a plummeting fall, is that it makes it, for some reason, a very deadly throwback bait. A lot of the fish that I didn't get it till the end of August. The first week I had a 53.5, a 53, and a 52 in the boat on it. And we were only throwing one, and two of those three came fourth bait through. So that told me that there was something to the bait, right? So its durability is a factor. Its ability to change skirts, colors is a nice factor while using the same head. And if it doesn't get tore up, you're just replacing a skirt, not a whole bait. You know what I'm saying? Another thing is that coming up with that Kraken shortly is going to make it a very, very versatile bait in your box. Because besides the skirt tails that are available that come as the Kraken, there's going to be a paddle tail, and there's going to be a big squirrely tail that will just interchange on the back of that Kraken head. So you essentially can have either three baits set up differently, or according to what intel or your bite is, the fish are showing you, you can make changes through the course of the day or your trip to what bait the fish seem to be preferring. And let's face it, when it comes to rubber, you know, that's pretty much most of it, is the squirrely tail, the paddle tail, and the tube. So you have the possibilities and availability of any and all. So watch for those adaptations to be available very soon. Not very long at all, you know, before fishing season. So that makes it a very, very versatile bait. And the fact that since it's a hard head, and, you know, Jeff Boggs is making some really neat tape jobs, you know, for Mark with you know, with the Red October tubes. I think Mark is even putting in a paint shop himself because there's such a demand for the painted baits. Although, really, when it comes to tubes, I use white, black, and brown. And I got all the painted ones, and I catch just as many fish on the other ones. But they are cool to have. And you, in your mind, you think that it is going to make a difference, and that may make your fish better. And there may be times, you know, that it does make a difference, but I haven't seen it too much. But anyway, that factor of having a pretty bait and different colors for different water clarities and depths and stuff and times of the season and forage preferences on different lakes is very easily attained with that hard head and paint jobs, just like, you know, all your other, you know, harder baits that are on the market now. So there's a lot of pluses to that Kraken. It's also a very good hooker because it's got two hooks, you know, that are, you know, in the, well, it's actually got three if you count the one at the back of the, at the back of the skirt that you can either leave, you know, clean, depending upon how you want the bait to glide, and or, you know, pop it around with your rod tip at different angles, sideways and stuff like that. Or you can use it, you know, with different blades, just like, but actually the blade, the tail gunner deal that all baits nowadays, or a lot of baits are adapting and adapting onto the back of their baits, and is one of the real, you know, mainstay presentations of tubes, actually started at my alma mater, Andy Myers Lodge, about, it's probably 18 years ago now. One of my top guides at that time, Mikey Grant, was going to go over to Lake of the Woods and fish the prestigious Nestor Cup tournament, one of the first or second years that it was, and he stuck that blade on the back of a tube and won the tournament with it. And us at, you know, Andy Myers on Eagle obviously all jumped right on it right away, and it kind of kept it to us for a few years, a little people fishing with us. It got around, and the actual very first tail gunner was a spinner with a little tiny hook that Jack Clifton and I did back in 88 on North Twin Lake on the back of our suckers. And that was the start of what is now called the tail gunner. So there's a lot of history there with that tail gunner. Then we started using it on in the, between the tails of the Big Joe. Then we started using it off the back of Bulldogs. And then it's just gone on to tubes and other baits. So the tail gunner goes quite a ways back to the late 80s. But going back to that, I ramble, you know me, Jeff. But, yep. But on the Kraken, I seem to prefer like a number five Willow when I put a spinner on it, because it really fits in with the kind of that gliding type of a drop that it has. I've had real good luck with that number five Willow on the back of the Kraken, whereas on the tubes I use the Willow too, but I seem to do better most of the time with a Colorado on the back of a tube. But I use them all, but on the Kraken I definitely like the Willow.
It sounds like a really cool, versatile bait. I got to play around with it a little bit last fall. I shot some underwater video of it, and hopefully, like I said, by the time you hear this podcast, you can come to TeamRhinoOutdoors.com and you can order them from us. And then I'll also have that video out of the underwater action of it. I got some video of it on the drop and things like that. It's just another versatile tool, like you said, Herbie, to add to your tackle box. I mean, it's a long line of versatile tools, and you know, each one has a time and place. I'm sure that just because you're using a Kraken, you won't stop using a Red October tube, I'd imagine, as well.
No, absolutely not. Mark's taken good care of me over the years. I've caught a lot of big fish and introduced a lot of big fish to people and people to the tube. Yeah, there's something about a tube that when the fishing's tough, particularly, that particular, whatever makes that tube do what it does with that being soft-sided and the water going in and out that you just simply, you know, can't 100% duplicate with a hard-headed or a solid rubber-headed bait. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So no, I will always have Red October tubes in my arsenal for sure.
Definitely. Well, let's move, you know, we kind of covered that one. That one's, I mean, obviously a cool new tool. Let's talk about the Big Mac. This one, many people probably haven't heard about yet. And Herbie, nope. In fact, I didn't even know much about it until recently. And you showed me some pictures of it, and it's a, you know, it's a tail rotating topwater bait, but it definitely has some unique features. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's got, you know, that bigger headed profile that has been popular in the last, you know, recent years. Again, it is a plastic bait that holds its paint unlike a lot of your other topwaters that people are having a lot of trouble with, the paint really stays on really good. So, you know, that's a plus factor. The paint, that Livingston job that they're using, really stays intact very, very well. It's got a mouth to it. I wanted to call it Big Mouth, but for some reason they called it Big Mac. But it's got a mouth to it, and the mouth happens to serve several different purposes. Number one, we found with that horizontal mouth going across the nose that you could not make that bait turn over. No matter with a 8-to-1 reel as fast as you could reel it, or trolling it behind a planer board. Not that most times do you work topwaters that fast. I actually work topwaters very slow because I find that I don't get fish blowing up behind them. But there's times when I have caught fish trolling them or weed flats. Sometimes people, whether they know it or not, are reeling the bait faster than I like to. And I see baits turning over a lot. Anytime you got a tail bait and you see it rolling on you at all, you're definitely working that bait too fast. This can't happen regardless of how fast you do start to work it. It stabilizes the head. The water going into that slit of the mouth stabilizes it. It also pushes the bottom lip of it down just a little bit. So you get a little film of water that comes over the top of the bait, which kind of has a hydrodynamic kind of look to it as it's going through the water, which is always made in the past. Some tail topwaters that had more weight in their nose that had that property, very effective. So that does that. It also helps the tail catch water better. And between the hydrodynamic flow over the top and the flow catching the tail better, you really get a real good consistent pop right from the first quarter inch the bait starts moving. So also that water going into that horizontal mouth and then being pushed out the sides of the edge of the mouth also produces some other different, you know, I don't know what you call them, sounds, vibrations, water flow, that kind of just starts adding to anything and anything that's swimming through the water. You know, there's feet flapping, there's you know, wings flopping, there's paddling going on, there's tails wiggling, there's all kinds of different things going on in natural life, and this kind of just all adds to that. The tail itself is not the big flat tail that is so common on several different types of baits that are available out there. Now, they have been very successful, don't get me wrong, but they don't have a lot of versatility, that flat tail, in adjustment. It's either in tune or it's not, is what I found with the flatter type of tails. This has a tail that's like the old tallywhacker style of tail, although per size of this bait, comparably speaking, in its size and the tail size versus if it was a smaller bait, it is between 15 and 20% taller. So it has a very good, deep, and resonating type of sound to it. The bait also has a built-in clicker that is a special stainless metal that we played with the type of metal of the tail to produce just the right kind of sound, not overpowering bang, 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 tick, 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 tick. It's a subtle type of a tick that goes along with the popping of the tail that makes it really an effective combo besides, you know, the other water flowish properties and everything else. And then, all things aside, it's also got EBS in it, electronic bait fish sound, which there's a lot going on. I'm not so sure how much that sound the fish will actually pick up. but there's a lot of different retrieves that I think people don't use when it comes to topwaters, particularly side-to-side baits and tail baits. And that is dead sticking a bait when you have a fish following it and it's almost all the way to the boat, but yet it won't take the bait. I've found stopping the bait and just letting it sit has caught me some tremendous fish that I wanted to jerk. I wanted to get the tail, and I held on and held on. And then all of a sudden, it's like a chicken nip, and they go poof, and they grab it. So it's something that can be tried. It doesn't work all the time, but it's nothing works all the time, right? So, but it's another presentation that works. And also, what a lot of people do, and it works obviously, is your steady plopping retrieve with a tail bait, depending upon how fast you're moving it, and the steady type of retrieve. But, you know, the old pause, pull, kind of snap, jerking, creating, you know, a different type of action, pausing it and kind of jerking it and pausing it, jerking it, and can be very effective at times. And hardly anybody ever does that with a tail bait. So there's a lot of different things that you can do with tail baits besides just throwing them out and reeling them in, particularly when you got a fish following them and it's humps up right away and it's following them all the way to the boat. Now you're 12 feet away. You know, I catch some fish on turns and figure eights and taking the bait under, in my opinion, at the boat when you bring a tail bait in. If you haven't tried the dead stick or the pause pull type of triggering to it. And by the way, that pause pull, when I'm fishing structure up on shore, like trees and stuff like that, heavy cover up on real heavy weeds up closer to the shore and stuff, a lot of times I'll throw a tail bait out there, and particularly in darker water, and rather than just start to reel, I'll give it 3-4 pretty loud, hard rips, and then go into the slow, steady, and then maybe after 10 feet, give it a, you know, but that 2 or 3 hard rips to start, there can be fish 10, 15, 20, 30 feet away. Then it catches their attention, and I've seen wakes come right to the bait doing that. So there's a lot of different things that you can do with tail baits to make them more effective than just throwing them out and reeling them in. There's another addition that I don't know if it'll make it in time to the initial run of the bait, but we got a double paddle tail type of a addition to the rear of the Big Mac that really looks a lot like little duck's feet paddling behind the bait that I'm hoping we can either get as an addition that can be purchased to add to the bait, or possibly if it's done in time to be included in the package with the bait. But all in all, I'm pretty excited about the bait. It's a very durable bait. Like I said, it holds its paint very well. It's got a lot of things going for it, a lot of different things going, you know, between sounds and water movement and things like that. I think it's going to be a real winner. And I think, you know, like when it gets here, there's only going to be so many. So if your customers really want to get in on it, Jeff, I think they should be calling you and getting on a list, because the next batch that comes in is probably going to be a month or two behind it. So once they're gone, they're gone. So I would highly suggest to people, if they want to get in on this bait, to give you a call and get on a list. And then once they hit your dock, you're ready to ship them out. And we should have them in time, you know, for the top water season this year. I'm looking for big things for it.
Yeah, it sounds like a, you know, late May, June 1st is the deadline, I've kind of heard.
Yeah.
And if you're hearing this podcast right now, you can just go right on our website. We have the Big Mac product built. You can, there's an email us when available tab on there. Click that tab. You can pull the drop down if you want to select a certain color. I usually recommend people select more than just one color, just in case, you know, like, you know, maybe something's missing from an early shipment and we only get five of six colors or whatever. That way you definitely get in on there, and you just enter in your email address and away you go. You're signed up, and then, you know, just make sure that we're added. You know, I think it's teamrhinooutdoors@hotmail.com is your safe sender. I believe there's a note on there. So just so it doesn't end up in your spam folder. Most of the time it doesn't, but occasionally spam filters will kick that out. But anyways, just go on there and sign up. And, you know, when the Big Mac comes in, you can get an email notification. Of course, you can pay attention to our social media. You can pay attention to our Backlash podcast. And then I'm assuming on this one here, I'll even mention that we have them in stock when they're actually in stock. Definitely a lot of cool new baits that are coming out, Herbie. You know, it's fun. I don't know if I've even told you, but we have something new working on with one of the major manufacturers. And I'll divulge details when we're off the air, but we got something new that's working. It's not, I wouldn't say groundbreaking, but definitely something that anglers have been looking for a while. So,
do you know, we were talking about Dawn of Chicago?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, and we actually got to play with it. Yep.
I'm looking forward to having a couple of them in my hands, especially fishing for big fish early in the season when normally we're even, you know, either bigger baits than that or smaller baits than that. Yep. I think that's gonna be a big fish option when they still like smaller baits, but yet it's got, you know, the bigger size to it. That's about all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, Herbie, I'm pretty far ahead on this podcast, so you won't hear this podcast until closer to the end of March. I've been working ahead, you know, with show season to try to get this taken care of earlier. But, you know, by the time you hear this podcast, the details are going to start to emerge more on this bait that I've teased a few times. And, you know, just like I said, just pay attention to our social medias. We'll be doing some podcasting on it. We'll be doing some talking on it. And Herbie, I know you're on my short list of guys. You're going to definitely get some in your hands as soon as we can get them to you. I know about the time you hear this podcast, we should have molds in hand, actually.
Super.
Well, you know, Herbie, since I'm trying to keep these podcasts to about a half an hour, of course, like you always do, you fill the gaps perfect. I have a whole list of bullet points I wanted to talk about with both of those two baits. Topwater tips, you hit them all perfectly. Amazing as usual. You know, for
more bullet points than this, we can do more of these, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, like I think I at some point we'll talk about the flipper, but for the purpose of this podcast, we're about at the time limit I'd like to be at. For people that want to get in touch with you this year, do you still have openings for trips?
Yeah, you know, actually I got a few openings left in May for Southern Wisconsin. Not a lot, but I think three or four dates. One of them I think is even on a weekend. For some reason, I have that second or third. I don't have my calendar right in front of me. I believe it's the third week in June. I got 4 days available for up in Vilas County yet, and I can't believe it. It's usually my first week full, and it comes off the full moon, and it's just and I think with this early type of spring that we're apparently it seems like we're going to have, and I just think that June is going to be a dynamite month up north this year. So that would be something to look at. I think I got 1 or 2 days left in November. I got some 2 or 3 days going into the second week of December, Central Wisconsin. So I got a few days left that people that want to get in the boat and have a good day and have some fun and share it with me. If they get a hold of me, we should be able to get together.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, my phone number is 608-515-3416, and no time's a bad time. Like I always say, if you just want to talk fishing, don't be afraid to give me a call. You got some questions. I've had quite a few people actually taking advantage of that offer, and I really feel good about it because they get back to me with a lot of appreciation. And at this stage of the game in my life, it really is fulfilling. So don't be afraid if you got some things you want to talk about. You can go message me off of Facebook, Steve Herbeck. You can go to Steve Herbeck Fishing. My website has got all my contacts on there. I'm easy to find.
Yeah, and obviously you don't have any problems talking muskies. That's very clear. Every time we get you on the podcast, I don't ever have to worry about how long this is going to go. I usually have to worry about only like trying to limit the amount of the time that it goes. So it's always always a great time, Steve. I really appreciate your time. I want to thank all the listeners again for coming out and listening to another episode. I know we're, you know, just we're fresh off refiring this podcast again. Hopefully by the time you hear this, we'll have some momentum going. And if you're looking for, you know, either of these two new options from Livingston Lures, go check out teamrhinooutdoors.com, and I'll work my hardest to make sure that we have another episode for you again next week, Monday.